WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson joins the growing number of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release files on the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Pam Bondi, I don't know when she originally made the statement. I think she was talking about documents, as I understood it. They were on her desk. I don't know that she was specific about a list or whatever, but she needs to come forward and explain that to everybody.
Johnson on the Benny Johnson Show podcast. A 22-year-old arrested in the murders of an American Idol executive and her husband at their home in L.A., LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
Homicide investigators, with the assistance of LAPD's Gang and Narcotics Division, FBI Fugitive Task Force, took that suspect into custody without incident.
The Pentagon's released half of the 4,000 National Guard troops sent to L.A. to monitor ICE raid protests. Retired Army Colonel Peter Mansour tells KNX.
It's fire season in California, and those National Guard troops are going to be needed elsewhere in the state.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. When Governor Evers signed the new state budget into law, he called it a win for Wisconsin's kids and families. But childcare providers say the support for their industry isn't enough. Parker Olson reports.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's childcare system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program Child Care Counts has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they describe just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diney Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on three sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new two-year state budget directs money in multiple ways. Governor Evers has declared 2025 the year of the kid and said he wouldn't sign a budget that lacked child care funding. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire, especially given the way the budget is being sold by the education governor.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding.
I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
Another win for the National League. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended after 9 innings, all tied up 6-6. So for the first time, instead of extra innings, they had a tiebreaker called a swing-off. Batters getting three chances to hit a home run. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies got hot, hitting all three out of the park to lead the National League 4-3. It's only the second time in 12 years the NL has beat the American League in the Midsummer Classic. And Brewers pitchers Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski each able to play in the game, McGill retiring the batter he faced, the Miz, 3 out of 4, allowing just one hit. NBA, now that the Bucks have signed center Miles Turner, do they still need to add a shooting guard like Damian Lillard?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like our team. I really do. I like all the guys that we brought back. Miles mentioned it. Those signings were intentional.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 80s. It will be a little muggy. Tonight will drop into the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are on the road and live from Oshkosh, the EAA Museum. Matinair on air and the Todd Albus Show. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinair on air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. Our producer, Parker Olson, is standing by down in Madison, Studio A2. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram in just a sec. We'll have State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker joining us later this hour. But first, we finally get to visit with meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about a forecast that is, dark and stormy, I guess, is going to be the theme again today, huh?
Yes, it is. And that's going to be spreading throughout the entire state. So yesterday, quite a night up north, right? Flash flooding in Ashland, Webb Lake, Lampson. I mean, 5 inches of rain fell there in Solon Springs. So a good 1 to 3 widespread up there. Now that heavy rain is going to be moving through the rest of the state. I think widespread statewide, expect at least a half an inch. You could get near an inch. And the more storms that you keep getting under, you're going to be closer to 2 to 4 inches. Yeah, a lot of rain. So we've got a flood watch out for Wausau to Green Bay, all the way through the Fox Valley to Oshkosh and over to Wisconsin Rapids. That's where it looks like the heaviest hit of rainfall will hit. So flash flooding, definitely a risk as we go through this afternoon. And also high winds and tornadoes could be with these storms too. So a slight risk for areas from Wisconsin Rapids to Green Bay and everyone south, including Madison, including Milwaukee, everyone else. There is a marginal risk from Wausau to La Crosse, and up north, we're looking at normal storms. You should get a little bit of relief, but still, it's going to bring at least a half an inch to an inch of rainfall. So still flooding risks up north, ongoing. And this low pressure system is going to be swirling through the state today. Upper 50s up north, that's going to be the highs, to upper 80s down south. So a 30 degree spread across the state, you know these storms are going to pack a punch when you have such a big temperature difference. That's what happens. So rain will start spreading in. It already is in northwest Wisconsin and far western areas right now. It's going to be moving in towards central areas, probably around noon or so to 2 o'clock. Madison, north central areas, you'll probably be getting those storms around 2. And then it moves into the Fox Valley, Milwaukee, and into the northeast, Northwoods, probably around 4 to 5 o'clock or so. It should wind down late tonight, around 9 to 10. Overnight, scattered showers and storms will continue, but those shouldn't be strong or severe, so you can go to sleep and not worry about it. And then by tomorrow, it will be clouds clearing, significantly cooler. Highs only in the low to mid 70s statewide. It's going to be refreshing.
Very refreshing compared to what we went through yesterday. That was that was searing heat that we had at the time. So
you just start dripping sweat. That's what I was doing.
I am not a bit surprised that the storms are a little strong coming in because it's breaking up some serious heat out here. So, Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the oops in the state budget, maybe you could call it, where Republicans maybe forgot to fund a homeless program for veterans, and whether a bill to follow up on it will fare better than the amendment Senator Smith and others were circulating during the voting on the state budget to say, guys, you forgot something here. But for now, there's a lot of people anxious and upset about this thing that Governor Evers wanted to continue funding that Republicans cut down to zero. So we'll talk to Senator Smith about that. And Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from the New Glarus area, talks to us about the personal impact to her because of what was and what was not in the state budget. So that's all coming up tomorrow. But right now, let's talk to Civic Media's Earl Ingram, who's got a new podcast as well. And we'll talk about some of what's in his latest edition of the podcast in just a moment. But first, Earl, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing great, thanks. I wanted to thank you for calling my attention to a new public museum that's going up, going to be called the Nature and Culture Museum downtown to replace the Milwaukee Public Museum. But they had this ceremony yesterday, the topping off ceremony, where it's like a steel beam goes at the very top of the building. All the dignitaries there and the crew, they sign the beam, and then it's lifted by a crane to the very top of the building. And I'm looking at the footage from Channel 12, and it fell out of the hoist as it was being brought up. Now, nobody got hurt. They quickly put it back in the hoist, and they put it in place. But that was some scary-looking video for what hopefully is a great new museum. But that's not exactly the way you plan a ceremony like that, Earl, is it?
Well, the ceremony, notwithstanding, Pat, I will tell you that the old museum was 140 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, as a young child going through the museum, it had everything in it. It was one of the top museums in the nation for many years, but 140 years old is pretty old for any building, let alone a museum. And so they decided to build this new one, and the cost of it is a fraction of what you think cost should be for something like this. It's $240 million. Contrast that to the Pfizer Forum, where the Bucks play, which was built about 7-8 years ago for $540 million. And you kind of see they've had to downsize what they'll be able to show. It was a big fight about it, and as I drive past it and see the size of it, it really is probably about a fifth of the size of the old museum. But the architecture of it will set it, along the top architectures of any building in this country. It's going to be, they'll talk about it like they talk about the art museum in downtown Milwaukee. That's how beautiful this design is, and I can't wait to get a chance to get into that museum in 2027.
Yeah, so when they expect that, construction will finish on there for the new Nature and Culture Museum, and I know according to one news report saying, well, why can't they just call it the new Milwaukee Public Museum? Well, you can't, because it's not all public dollars that are going into it. It's a separate 501c3, and they don't want to confuse people. But again, it almost certainly will have the best of the Milwaukee Public Museum. And I guess what some things, if it's smaller, we'll just have to rotate in. And look, if that keeps your museum from getting stale, I'm all for that, because there are some museums that I've certainly seen over the years, and it's like they seem to hardly ever change, or they change so slowly that, the museum itself becomes a museum relic. So I rather like that they're going to have this, basically this new canvas to build on. And I think it's going to be a real boon for Milwaukee.
Well, it looks like four beehives, mm-hmm, together on the outside. So, I mean, it's a very beautiful building.
Yeah, that's going to be really nice right there on North 6th Street, 6th and McKinley, which I wasn't going to mention this, but as soon as I said 6th Street, it reminded me of how, the Trump bill that passed is getting rid of a whole bunch of money that was going to help out with that 6th Street corridor. And anybody that has driven downtown Milwaukee, knows the importance of having corridors that are safe and accessible, but also encourage commerce. And look, I'm not saying that it's going to be, some kind of a fatal blow to downtown Milwaukee, but that was a nasty and unforced error on the part of Congress getting rid of that 6th Street funding.
Well, it certainly is nothing new, and I think people will say that across this nation, because it's happening all over this nation, and people need to be aware of what's taking place. It's one thing to see it on television and hear talk about it, but the tentacles are now starting to reach, you know, your neighborhoods and your community, and now you see the impact of what's taking place there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Earl's got a podcast series for us called What's Going On, and the latest edition of it is out. It's part one of a series that's called Is Your Water Safe? And you sat down with lead-free water activist Paul Schwartz. Can you tell us a bit more about what you guys discussed?
Well, I can tell you that Get the Lead Out is going to be a national podcast. We have the top scientists from across the entire world that we are going to be interviewing in an ongoing conversation about people and water and in this nation, educating people on what's taking place. In any building that was built prior to 1975, it's pretty safe to say that the pipes in those buildings contain lead. And so what we're trying to do is educate and make people aware of the inherent dangers of what is taking place in their cities all across this nation. It is not solely an issue in Flint, Michigan, and Milwaukee and other places. It's all over this nation. And the fact that we have a government that refuses to educate people totally on the inherent problems with lead, because they don't want to get stuck with the liability of all the damage that has happened, and the fact that they continue to produce lead piping today. And so that's going to be a national podcast that we are going to do many segments. Paul Schwartz is one of the founders of Get the Lead Out, along with Dr. Yana Lambert-Lambertini-Du. And so we're going to have the best scientists, again, across the world in conversations explaining exactly what this is.
And I'm really glad that you again emphasize that this is not just a Milwaukee or Flint problem, because we talked, was it last week or the week before, with Representative Angela Stroud from up in the Ashland-Bayfield Superior region, and helped work out a deal for removing a lot of lead water lines in Superior. And the original Republican proposal was basically going to take the private water utility off the hook and, you know, stick taxpayers, you know, property owners with the entire bill. And goodness knows we're seeing, you know, either hostility or disdain from the legislature toward the Milwaukee project. And so if we've learned anything from what just happened in Superior, it's that you got to be paying attention full time to make sure that, A, they stick to the goal of removing these lead lines, and B, that the costs are shared equitably.
Well, again, what we're looking to do is educate the entire nation that this is the fact that they're continuing to make lead plumbing, knowing the impacts of lead, and the fact that they continue to mine lead in the face of all the damage that it's doing to human beings is what we want to do. We want to make sure that people get outraged enough to know that their children's futures are at stake. And we have a nation that hasn't been forthright and truthful with the impact of what's happening with lead. And so if nothing else, the whole purpose of Get the Lead Out, the campaign that is we're hoping to go totally national with, is to bring pressure necessary to elected officials who are in a position to get this thing rectified.
Yeah, and again, getting the lead out should be a bipartisan thing. It should not be this hard. To learn more about it, listen to What's Going On with Earl Ingram, a podcast that you can catch over at civicmedia.us/shows, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Earl, thank you so much as always. Hope you have a great day.
You as well.
All right. Thank you. A local break is coming up next for some of you and others. We will visit with Melissa Baldoff, and we will get this week's climate check coming up. Bit of a change of tone from Donald Trump when it comes to FEMA. That and much more still ahead. And then State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker when we're all back together in 15 minutes here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The Brennan Center for Justice released its annual survey of local election officials. It found continued concerns for threats against poll workers and the loss of election security funding and staff now that the Trump administration has cut federal election security grants. The survey of over 800 municipal election officials found 60% were very or somewhat concerned about federal cuts to election security services. We reported in March on DOGE cuts of 300 cybersecurity experts from CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, and the suspension of grant funding to states for hardening systems to fight increasing cyber attacks from Russia, China, and Iran. Of the surveyed officials, 62% were concerned by the loss of CISA's direct technical support, and 80% said the federal government should be providing the same or more funding, not less. One-third of local election officials are very concerned about political leaders interfering with the work of poll workers, up 4% from a similar question in 2023. An additional one-quarter are somewhat worried about interference. Officials overwhelmingly, 81%, are concerned about false election information spread on social media, which contributes to 38% saying they have been harassed, abused, or threatened for just doing their job. We have links to the full Brennan Center survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. 73 degrees under cloudy skies here in downtown Wausau. Live from our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. And I wanted to remind folks again, one of the things I'm going to be keeping an eye on over the next year or so as we head towards 2026 and the midterm elections is where the parties go, especially here in Wisconsin, here in central Wisconsin. We heard a conversation in the last hour of Pat Kreitlow's program with Christian Phelps, talking about how he voted against the state budget and explained where he stands in terms of a member of the Democratic Party. And I do think that it's going to be interesting to see where Democrats decide to move in terms of trying to get more electoral victories, and also with a gubernatorial race coming up, where the Republicans are going. And before I discuss that, one area that average voters and citizens have in terms of letting their voice be heard on where they want their politics to go, whether it's through their representatives or within their parties, is showing up at certain events. And we do have three different events that you can have your voice be heard here in Wausau over the next couple of days. I have mentioned yesterday about a couple of events coming up tomorrow. There's going to be another Tom Tiffany rally at his Wausau office on Stewart Avenue, 2620 Stewart Avenue in Wausau. Again, it is a noontime rally to let Congressman Tiffany know that there are folks that do not appreciate his vote when it came to the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. But from 12 until 1:30 p.m., 2620 Stewart Avenue in Wausau, in front of Tom Tiffany's Wausau office. There is going to be another rally. So again, you can show up there and let your voice be heard. Also, there is going to be an event at the Marathon County Public Library tomorrow, a Fair Maps community hearing that's being put on, sponsored by the League of Women Voters, as, of course, Fair Maps is still a very important issue, and it's always temporary issue because the maps get changed all the time. But if you want to let your voice be heard in terms of this Fair Maps issue, and again, in terms of ultimately how many representatives in state government there are from the Democratic Party or from the Republican Party, the maps do have a very, very important aspect. This Fair Maps community hearing at the Marathon County Public Library in downtown Wausau will be at 6 p.m. also tomorrow on Thursday. And there's one other event that is coming up on Saturday. There is going to be a Defend Democracy protest going on at the corner of Stewart Avenue and 17th Avenue in Wausau from 12 noon until 2 p.m. And it is a Defend Democracy protest to speak out against the unconstitutional actions of the current administration. So again, there are opportunities for folks here in Wausau to speak out, to let their voice be heard, and also just generally let people know they don't like where a lot of things are going.
That's right.
And often you think, well, what does it mean? What does it matter? If you look at American history going back many, many years, you see that often the protests take a lot of time. They grow. Yeah. And one protest will not move the needle. Maybe not two or three. But if you continue to go out and just say, hey, we see what you're doing, we disagree with what you're doing, ultimately, elected representatives do listen. And if you just let them get away with it and feel like you're not listening, they won't listen as well. So again, these three opportunities to get out and let your voice be heard twice tomorrow and then on Saturday afternoon as well. Something else I wanted to mention here, mm-hmm. because as we go into the next year or so, it's going to be very interesting to see how members of both parties react to recent results. And I think we heard a little bit in the last hour with Christian Phelps. But also, and this one I kind of it's like, oh boy, already. But
oh boy, what happened?
Well, the race for governor is going to be starting up big time sometime in the future. Okay. Because in November 2026, there's going to be another gubernatorial election in Wisconsin. But we are going to start seeing the first ads for the governor's race.
Oh, no.
There's a man named Bill Berrien. He is a Republican businessman. He is the first candidate for Wisconsin governor to buy campaign ads in this race. He is a wealthy businessman. He is spending $400,000 in cable, TV, radio, and online ads.
That's a lot of money.
But the thing that kind of jumps out about this first Republican jumping into the ad pool, trying to win the Republican primary for governor and be on the general election ballot. In the ad, and again, this is something I'm going to keep an eye on. How are people going to run? Are they going to run towards Donald Trump if you're a Republican, or try to give a little space between themselves and Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump's numbers are not good right now. But
no, his approval rating is definitely a dipped.
Berrien in his commercial says, quote, "I'm an outsider and a businessman like President Trump." Ooh, boy. As somebody who is not a supporter of Donald Trump, I say, Bill Berrien, go for it. Wrap yourself around Donald Trump, because I don't think that's a winning strategy. Maybe it's a winning strategy to win a primary for a Republican governor.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a strategy to win a general election. Because I don't see Donald Trump turning it around big time before 2026. But
me neither.
I'm going to warn everybody out there, be aware that the respite from campaign ads will be coming to an end pretty soon.
Oh boy.
But Bill Berrien, and the thing about it is, an outsider and a businessman. Well, Donald Trump's a lousy businessman. That's my opinion, folks. Hey, we got coming up in our final segment, our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
As you are 1 for 2 so far this week. So that means you have a chance, if you get it right today, to clinch a passing grade for this week.
Yep, I got to focus on
and
today.
And I always try to give you a topic that maybe you're going to like. And today I'm going to give you one that you're going to like as well.
Okay. What is it?
It is
Disneyland.
Oh,
you're Mr. Awesome. Disney here, so we're going to give
you a
Disneyland number for the day.
I'm excited for that one.
So we're going to have that coming up as part of our final segment at 8:52.
Awesome.
We're going to have an information update and then back to Pat Kreitlow for more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Surround you. Well,
listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. A flood watch has been issued for portions of central and northeast Wisconsin. This includes Marathon, Portage, Washera, Wood, Shawano, and Waupaca counties. It begins at 1 p.m. this afternoon and continues until 7 p.m. this evening. The National Weather Service of Green Bay alerted to the possibility of flash flooding caused by excessive rainfall. They are predicting 2 to 3 inches of heavy rain this afternoon in a short period of time. Excessive runoff may result in flooding. Remember, turn around, don't drown. A recent study finds a link between the state's weak gun laws and firearm deaths for kids. A study published last month in the Pediatrics edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association looked at gun-related deaths for kids and teens from 2010 to 2023. Researchers compared states based on the strictness of their gun laws. They picked 2010 after a Supreme Court ruling that expanded gun rights in some states. They found that states with weaker gun laws, like Wisconsin, saw an increase in firearm deaths for youth. States with stricter laws saw those deaths stay the same or go down. Categorized as endangered in 2022, monarch butterflies may be getting some help from state lawmakers. Lisa Hale has more.
Monday, Wisconsin State Senator Rachel Cabral-Guevara of Appleton introduced the legislation to make the endangered monarch butterfly the Wisconsin state butterfly. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says since the 1980s, over 95% of the western monarch population has disappeared. They blame habitat loss, climate change, and pesticide use.
If this legislation passes, supporters hope greater awareness and support for the monarch's protection and habitat conservation will follow. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Emmy nominations for this year are in, and if you like to laugh, here are some shows you may or may not have seen that could be worth checking out. The nominees for the Best Comedy Series include Abbott Elementary, The Bear, HBO's Hacks, Netflix's Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Apple TV's Shrinking, and The Studio, and the offbeat cool What We Do in the Shadows. Nominees for Actor in a Comedy Series include Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This, The Studio's Seth Rogen, Jason Segel in Shrinking, Martin Short in Only Murders, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Outstanding actress nominees in a comedy series include Ayo Edebiri from The Bear, Jean Smart from Hacks, no surprise there, Kristen Bell from Nobody Wants This, and Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 80s. It will be a little muggy. Tonight will drop into the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station
and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the state budget bill, especially the item that was missing from it, the one that would have funded homeless veterans programs here in Chippewa Falls and elsewhere, and whether anything can be done to save this before closures have to take place. We'll also talk to Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from New Glarus, on what was in the budget, what was not in the state budget, and the impact it's going to have on her and her future plans. That was the state budget. There was also the federal budget reconciliation bill that passed recently, which is going to do tremendous damage to families and others in Wisconsin. A lot of people would like to tell their Congressman Derek Van Orden about it in Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We can't seem to rip him away from his Twitter machine long enough, where, as I'm looking at his recent feed, and by the way, the unofficial motto of this show is we read Twitter so that you don't have to. Still just slinging insults at everybody and misleading on the bill. But if folks in the 3rd District would like to sound off about it, there will be a town hall in the La Crosse area this evening. And here to tell us more about it and all of his other new job duties is the new state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Devin Remiker. Devin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Appreciate it.
And belated congratulations as well on your election at the state convention, succeeding Ben Wickler. What's your take on, I don't think the orientation was that tough, given your prior experience with the party.
You know, my pitch was ready on day one, given my 7 years of working at the state party with both Chair Wickler and Chair Lanning. And I think I was ready on day negative 14. I started right after the convention, dove right in to get ready for that July 1 official date. We've been up to a ton. And the first thing on our docket for a big public event is this town hall this evening in La Crosse, holding Derek Van Orden accountable for the awful bully voted for.
Right. And this is far and away not just a solo affair with the new state party chair. There's going to be a lot of folks who are going to be showing up there who represent the area, and I would argue represent the area better than Congressman Van Orden does, who have been watching the harm that this bill is going to do, and they're going to be talking about that tonight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Senator Path and Representative Johnson, I'm also going to be joined by La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair William Garcia to talk a little bit about, you know, the impact from the state. But really what happened, and the reason we're holding this town hall, is that Derek Van Orden has simply refused to engage with his constituents. I believe he tweeted 75 times over the weekend. He has been burning up the Twitter machine. I saw him tweeting at around 12:30 a.m. Today that he wanted to be placed in Trump's hero garden, whatever that is. And I mean, that's, you know, ultimately what happened here is he voted for a bill that is going to take away health care. It's going to take away SNAP. It could potentially close a hospital in his district. One of the hospitals in his district was on the chopping block from this bill. And he is simply hiding. It's cowardly. And we want to make sure that folks have a chance to tell people how they feel and share the impact that this bill has had and will have on their lives.
The impact on the 3rd Congressional District, I mean, is not small. There's people that think, well, this is just a sliver of the population. We're talking tens of thousands of people in the 3rd Congressional District alone impacted either by, Medicaid or by SNAP, nutritional benefits, things like that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at 30,000 people. I mean, think about that. That is that is a pretty big city in the state of Wisconsin, losing their health care potentially, losing their access to food potentially, on top of all the other knock-on effects. And I mean, really what we have is this is all being done in service of enriching the already wealthiest people in this country. I mean, really, this is just a gut punch to the working class in this state. And Derek Van Orden not only supported it, but celebrated it. He cheered the loss of healthcare and food access for the folks in his district. And I think, you know, voters deserve a chance to be able to share how they feel about that, both now and hopefully next year when they vote him out of office.
Well, and on top of all of that was the kerfuffle from, you know, the state budget passing and the congressman being a bit, shall we say, I don't know, either misleading or talking out both sides of his mouth in terms of, you know, supporting something and yet trying to warn Governor Evers at the same time about what was coming, you know, from this bill. What was it that was in this bill that, you know, Derek Van Orden thought he wanted to warn the governor about and yet supported it anyway?
You know, they really started a fire and then offered to help put it out. I mean, Derek Van Orden is, I'll cut through it. He's lying. He's lying to his constituents. Ultimately, he sent a letter urging the governor to make some changes and sign the budget that would, you know, help ensure Medicaid access in this state. When he's the one and his party's the one who's put it in danger in the first place. Not to mention the fact that Republicans in the state of Wisconsin for years have refused to expand Medicaid and bring our taxpayer dollars back to this state to help more people have health care. And I think that, you know, that sort of I think misleading is a generous term for what to me seems like a pretty knowing lie to the voters in Wisconsin. And I think that he is taking voters for granted. I think they can see through it, and we're going to make sure that they know what the facts are.
Although now to do that is what leads us to events like tonight's in La Crosse and beyond, because, I mean, it almost goes without saying that the Republican strategy for 2026 will be to, what, create distractions, anything, and count on other people to stop talking about the impact of this bill. But I can just say from a radio host standpoint, much less anybody involved in politics, there does not appear to be a shortage of people who want to come forward and talk about the importance of these programs that their tax dollars paid for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that tonight, you know, we're going to hear the truth that people are scared of what's coming. We've already heard Medicaid recipients whose caseworkers have called them and told them that their health care may be reduced or cut because of this bill. So although, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity to be able to tell this story, it's really important to remember that these are real people that are being impacted already. And even if they haven't had the benefit cut, just knowing that that's hanging over your head, knowing that you might have to worry about where you or your family is going to get health care or your next meal from, that's something that no person deserves in this state. And unfortunately, Derek Van Orden and his Republican colleagues in Wisconsin are the ones that have enabled this situation.
Now, is this town hall something that people can still register for at this point? And if so, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go to mobilize.us, search in La Crosse, should pop up right away. If you just sign up there, no cost of admission, feel free to come on down. It'll be at the Pump House Performing Arts Center in beautiful downtown La Crosse.
All right. So people can gather there and, again, share their stories and, you know, again, look for some kind of alternative, shall we say, to Derek Van Orden. I mean, there are certainly three candidates involved in the race right now who would like to replace him. And that really says something, doesn't it? That, I mean, three people have already come forward to challenge Van Orden in the third district.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that he has really, really, you know, made a mess of his representation of that part of the district. I worked for Congressman Ron Kind for 4 years. And, you know, I saw somebody that held listening sessions in every county, in every part of the district, every single year to make sure that he was consistently hearing from folks, incorporated into how he represented people. And Derek Van Orden is just more interested in playing Washington, D.C. political games and trying to score points on Twitter with Elon Musk and Donald Trump than he is representing the people of Wisconsin.
Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court recently turned down a request to look at the congressional maps. Which is, you know, not to say that that's the, you know, the complete end of the subject. There's another lawsuit that's out there pending. But I bring it up because, again, we're stuck with the lines that are there. They are certainly gerrymandered compared to what they were, you know, more than a decade earlier. But for folks that have seen Derek Van Orden win two times already, even if we keep these same maps in place, how winnable is the third district for a Democratic candidate?
Well, I think it's incredibly winnable. And I mean, we even saw that the candidate last year was able to outperform the top of the ticket. And I think that, you know, we, especially in these midterm elections, the electorate is a little different than we've had in presidential years. And I think it's an electorate that's more favorable to Democratic candidates, especially in the third congressional district. And I mean, I think that this bill counts for a lot. I mean, you know, part of what we are working on at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin through year-round organizing, but also expanding into our 72-county strategy, is going to be making sure that we are really telling the story of how bills like the one Derek Van Orden voted for have impacted people's lives and win back voters who may have lost trust in us, our candidates, and help make sure that we're able to restore some sanity to the state and this country in 2026.
We are talking to new state Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker about an event taking place in La Crosse tonight, a town hall, about the Trump budget reconciliation bill and the damage it's going to be doing in Wisconsin. And I hate to bring people down further, Devin, but I mean, this was one shoe. It was a budget reconciliation bill, and they're already moving into next year's fiscal 2026 budget bill. It probably won't be done in time by October 1st the way it's supposed to be, but we do know that already the Trump administration and Republicans, they're looking to make even more cuts in next year's fiscal budget bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they will stop at nothing to pick the pocket of the working class in this country. And I mean, that's what this is really about. It is about, you know, finding every way to squeeze profit and wealth out of what used to be public goods and public services provided to people and put it in the pockets of billionaires. And I mean, I don't think that they're going to stop. I mean, I just saw yesterday it reported that the Winklevoss twins who sued Mark Zuckerberg after he, worked with them on Facebook in its early aughts have invested $1 million to try to essentially prop up a Republican candidate for governor here in this state, Bill Berrien. And, you know, to me, I'm just getting flashbacks of our Supreme Court race early this year when another Silicon Valley billionaire tried to buy an election in the state of Wisconsin. But really, this is about control and power so that they can extract wealth from the working class in this state and across this country. And I think people, just like they did with Elon Musk when we overwhelmingly voted for Susan Crawford and rejected that in April, are going to do the same thing next year.
Devin Remicker, the new state party chair, is our guest. And yes, we mentioned that earlier with the Winklevoss twins being the primary supporter of Bill Berrien at this point. And we talked to Josh Shulman, candidate for governor at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And he was asked directly by Todd Alba if he needed Donald Trump's endorsement. And he rather skirted past it. And so he did not completely take the Tony Weed view of, you know, tie yourself to Donald Trump as tightly as possible. But I wonder, with the early entries into the governor's race, if you think that Donald Trump's endorsement is going to carry weight or not in this governor's race next year.
I think it absolutely does carry weight. And I think that it's going to be a race to the bottom for these Republican candidates to appease Donald Trump. I mean, you know, Bill Berrien himself he donated to Nikki Haley in the 2024 presidential primary. So I think he has a lot of making up to do with Donald Trump. But I think that both of them, and along with anyone else who gets in, are going to be competing to show who is most loyal. Not to the state, not to the country, not to the voters, but to Donald Trump. And look, I mean, this is what his agenda is. It's enriching the wealthy at the expense of the working class. And I think that process of trying to win the primary by winning his favor and supporting him with undying loyalty is going to be ultimately what ends up backfiring on the big time next year.
Devin, is there a streaming option for tonight's town hall, or is that just an in-person only affair?
I believe it's in person only.
Okay. All right. I had that question on the text line, so I thank Tiffany in River Falls for putting that in. Devin Remicker, new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Devin, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it, as always. Take care.
All right. You bet. And coming up next is a local update for some of you. Others will stick around, and we'll talk to James Kelly about the stories he's following here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to, and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:52. Again, 73 degrees in downtown Wausau. It is still cloudy, but it's not going to stay that way, apparently. Looks as though we could get some significant rainfall as we get later into the day. In fact, we've seen a rather large area of rain that's been moving over the border in the western part of the state from Minnesota, and it's expected that later this afternoon that we could be getting some of this rain. In fact, I'm looking at the radar right now. Maybe not even this afternoon, but it looks as though we will be getting some rain. Hopefully not so much that it does postpone or cancel our scheduled American Legion softball broadcast tonight. I am scheduled to be in Merrill as Wausau Post 10 takes on Merrill. 6:20 airtime right here on 98.9 WXCO. Obviously, get a chance to see some of the young people on the softball diamond, but Ian and myself yesterday had an opportunity after the show to go on over to Wausau East High School and one of their summer courses, a social studies course, and had a chance to talk a little bit about the media, talk about journalism, yeah, talk about just general things that we deal with here on WXCO with a group of students at Wausau East, and I found it to be very interesting, found it to be thought-provoking in certain ways, to have to think about, you know, be asked about, you know, where do we get our information from in terms of news and the like, and to think about you know, the young people and their voting patterns and how it may affect, you know, elections in the near future with some of the young people. I found it very interesting. What did you think about our visit to Wausau East yesterday morning?
I thought it was very cool. To me, it's always nice to, you know, pass down some of our knowledge and experiences to the younger generation, to give that knowledge and see what they'll take away from it in their lives, and they actually had some really good questions as well. It got me thinking too.
And I just, you know, when you are in the room and you think about it, and I think for folks out there tuned in right now, you think about how you look at the political world. You talk when you think about the world of news and what we digest on a daily basis, and then you have a chance to sit in a room with a number of young people, teenagers, and you think about how they are getting their information and how they are digesting the information and digesting what's going on politically in this world. It's really interesting to think about in terms of where we are now and what it could mean for the future. And at a time where there's, I think, a lot of concern about where we are politically and where we are journalistically in terms of we're seeing some of these issues involving major media corporations and the maybe lack of independence within their journalistic departments because of pressure and lawsuits from the administration. There are so many questions that need to be answered, but also in terms of, boy, how you get your information, because it changes so very quickly. The era of AI, the era of just incredible speed when it comes to information going from one part of the globe to another part of the globe.
That's right.
And at times I get confused by it, and I get worried by it. So, again, I found that to be able to be involved with, see those kids and to think about where they are. And also because, you know, I'm older. I'm not as old as you are, but I mean, you're not as old as I am. I'm much older than you are. But I'm thinking about where I stand and how these kids, and they're going to be, you know, going even deeper into the future. Again, I just think that's why we need to be engaged. And then we talked about these events coming up, and there's different ways to be engaged. You can send a letter to the editor. We see often, say, in the Wausau Pilot and Review, the letters to the editor. You can make a call, and one of the things here on Civic Media, all of our shows take the phone calls, and folks can call in and talk to our statewide host and give their opinions on what's going on politically. Be in, or just as simple as reading a story. I mean, that's being involved as well. So I just found situations like we had yesterday to be around young people to think about, you know, not just where we are today, but where we're going in the future. I think it's very,
and it's
I think
a very incredible experience.
And I think as well for folks out there, you have young people in your lives, talk to them about what they're reading or what they're hearing when it comes to politics and news and the like as well. So I was very happy to be able to talk to and Ian as well, to these folks at Wausau East. In fact, the teacher of that group is going to be coming in here. We'll be hearing from him on Monday of next week. So talk a little bit about, you know, maybe what he hears and what he sees when it comes to the young people and the way they digest politics and news, and and find out a little bit more about that, because sometimes I do think that we focus on the older folks, and maybe I think we need to focus a little bit on the younger folks and how they are digesting the information that they're getting during this very, very interesting time in our country's history.
I agree.
But let's wrap things up as we do each and every weekday with our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
We give Ian a quiz, one of which we have three choices, one of which is the number for the day. And based on the math, he should get one out of three right, 33%. So anything above 33% is a passing grade. If he gets more right than wrong, it's a winning week. Four out of five right is an A grade. And then, of course, he gets the gold star for a perfect week.
That's right.
Today?
Disneyland.
Disneyland. Today is the anniversary of the opening of the Disneyland Park in Anaheim, California. The number for the day is, what year did Disneyland open in Anaheim, California?
Okay, what are my choices?
Your choices are 1955, 1965, 1975.
1955, 65. Okay, I'm going to say 1955. 1955 is my final answer.
Disneyland opened in Anaheim, California on this very date, July the 16th, 1955.
Yes.
70 years ago today.
Man.
Well, two out of three.
Happy anniversary, Disneyland.
You have a passing grade. We'll go for a winning week tomorrow.
Awesome.
We'll see you then.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Have a great day.
Matt and Air on Air coming up next on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Johnson adds his name to the growing list of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release the Jeffrey Epstein files. Pam Bondi tells CBS News she will not bow to calls for her resignation.
I'm going to be here for as long as the president wants me here, and I believe he's made that crystal clear. It's 4 years. Well, three and a half now, right? We've got 6 months in.
Vice President Vance, the tiebreaker, as Senate Republicans advance a bill to claw back $9 billion in federal funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting. South Dakota's John Thune.
Clearly, this is something that all of us believe is a priority. When you've got a $36 trillion debt, we have to do something to get spending under control.
This will be the first full day of testimony in the murder trial of a Colorado dentist accused of poisoning his wife's protein shakes. CBS's Natalie Morales.
Jim Craig had told his business partner and friend he ordered the cyanide for his wife, but he didn't think that she would actually take it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.